From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Melissa Block, and finally, the last full day of campaigning before Election Day. There is a lot at stake in tomorrow's midterm elections. Analysts predict the U.S. House and possibly the Senate could change hands from Republican to Democratic control. 36 states will choose governors. Many thousands of local races are up for grabs. President Bush campaigned today in Pensacola, Florida, but the Republican candidate for governor, Charlie Crist, caused a stir when he chose to campaign across the state. On the West Coast, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi said it all comes down to who turns out at the polls.
What do we know about how people decide their vote? What factors go into their decision? What sways them? We put that question to a smattering of voters in Colorado, Tennessee, Connecticut, Ohio, and Virginia. Let's listen to what they said.
My name is Stephen Brown. My occupation is I'm kind of a jack of all trades for a web company. And we are currently on the light rail station in Denver, Colorado, downtown. I'm half black, I'm half African American, so my dad was involved with civil rights, so we voted Democrat for a long time. But seeing how the Democrat Party doesn't really sponsor or hold up to social values that I agree with, family values, Christian conservative values, I don't vote that along those lines anymore.
My name is Elizabeth Harris, and I have a hot dog cart at the courthouse in Clarksville, Tennessee. I vote for the best man, the one that I feel is going to do the best job, whether he be Republican or Democrat.
My name is Richard Petro. I'm the owner and manager of War and Peace's Hobby Shop in West Hartford, Connecticut. The rule of thumb is if I'm not happy with the way things are, I vote against the incumbent. Basic rule. I don't think I voted for an incumbent since I've been 21.
My name is Kay Serio, and I'm here in Ross, Ohio. I'm probably more of an issue person. Of course, the war. I think it's a commitment we made, and I think it's a commitment we should stick to, and that's where I'm headed.
Well, I watch TV and I read the papers, and I'm usually wrong when I vote. My name is William White. I live in Stafford County, and I'm in, at the barber shop getting a haircut. All candidates, when they're out campaigning, will put their best foot forward. And they'll smile, they'll kiss babies, and such. So you have to judge them real carefully as to what they're doing. That I'm leaning toward the Democratic Party, but you never can tell what will happen.
That last voter is in Stafford County, Virginia, where there's a very tight Senate race between incumbent George Allen, a Republican, and Democrat Jim Webb. Thomas Patterson is someone who's long studied voter inclinations. He's the Bradley Professor of Government and the Press at Harvard's Kennedy School. He joins me now. Welcome, Professor Patterson.
Welcome. Thank you.
Now, from what we've heard, it seems like people have their own methods for selecting a candidate. You've studied this as an academic. What have you learned about the voter selection process?
Well, the Voting Act itself is pretty simple. We pull the lever, but the voting decision is more complex. A lot of things enter into the way we look at candidates and the way we look at parties. For most of us, there's partisanship where we tend to support Republicans or Democrats. And, you know, all of those things kind of come together, and it's hard to take any piece of that and pull it out. But I think we can make some judgments about the relative influence of various factors on the voting decision.
So it seems like you see a sort of an ingrained political party affiliation, almost like a default position for voters.
Well, for most voters, there is a default position. About two-thirds of Americans call themselves Democrats or Republicans. And of the third who call themselves independents, more than half say they lean toward one party or the other. And when you look at their voting decision on Election Day, the very large majority will side with the party of their choice. So, you know, party is out there always, and then it gets mixed in with, you know, how people feel government's been performing recently, whatever the issues of the moment might be, who the candidates are, things like that.
How much do you think voters base their decisions on a candidate's personality or a candidate's character?
Well, I think character does matter to Americans. I mean, we want candidates who are honest. We want candidates who are competent. We want candidates who have leadership abilities. And what you find in the polls is that Republicans think that Republican candidates are more honest, and Democrats think Democratic candidates are more honest. And this is one of those areas, I think, where partisanship gives us rose-tinted glasses. And it's one of those areas where you kind of see what you want to see.
Professor, before we go on, we actually heard some voters talk about character. Let's listen.
My name is Palmer Smith, and I'm an artist, and we are in Warrenton, Virginia. Mukaka comment just certainly turned me off to George Allen. Just lack of good judgment. I'll be voting for James Webb. He's somebody that had a lot of combat experience in Vietnam, and he knows what the troops are going through in Iraq, and I think he can make some credible decisions there.
It's more of a feeling than anything else. My name is Chuck Silver. I'm in Clarksville, Tennessee. And comparing the two candidates for the local Senate race, on one side I see Cork, who projects strength. He's an older man, as I am myself, and with age comes wisdom, allegedly. And this is what I really look for. In the other candidate, in Harold Ford, a younger man, impetuous, given perhaps to making decisions, makes a snap decision that may turn out to be wrong in the end, whereas an older man might think a little bit, and that's how Corker would base his decisions.
A couple of voters there talking about character. We just heard a voter there in Clarksville, Tennessee, say that it's more of a feeling. How often do voters go with their gut when they make this decision?
You know, I would suspect that the Tennessee voter that we heard from probably votes Republican most of the time, has looked at these two candidates and kind of arranged things in a way that confirms that belief. On the other hand, you know, when something happens in a race that that really catches people's attention and forces them to step back a bit, with George Allen's statement, for example, early in the Virginia race that really changed the dynamics of that race. When it's you know, when it's that important and it kind of just sticks out, then people, I do think, begin to think about character in a somewhat different way and not just simply through the lens of their partisanship.
When do people make up their minds?
Oh, at all sorts of places and times during the campaign. You know, no one will admit that they really made up their mind 2 years ago or 4 years ago. But, you know, most people have made up their minds by now. There aren't very many votes to be won or lost in this election in the last 24 hours. But there are always a few, and they can sometimes be swung by the events of the moment.
Professor, thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Professor Thomas Patterson of Harvard's Kennedy School of Government.